There's no insignificant birth. There's no insignificant calling. There's no such thing as a man born to be poor, born to be sick, born to die young. No, sir, bless God, don't let anybody tell you there was.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland from their prayer cabin in Southwest Arkansas as they conclude this week's teaching, Discover the Plan of God and Find His Perfect Will for You. Learn the keys to knowing the plan God has created for your life.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and welcome to our place in Southwest Arkansas. Praise God, we've been so blessed with this place
over the years.
We come up here and prayed when things were good, and we prayed when things are bad. And, oh, man, I tell you, if I'd known what we're talking about today, oh, I look back at one particular time I came up here. I did not have any clue what to do next. We'd been in this ministry about 10 years. I was having all kinds of physical problems. I didn't know why. I'm standing on the Word and all these different kind of things. And I just said, well, I'm going up there and find out, or I ain't coming back. It's that kind of thing. But I realized that I didn't have to suffer like that to get it. But I didn't know any better at the time. Well, God got through to me and taught me. And having a place like this where I could just go get in the Word and stay there and just stay there until it broke the all of the doubt and the unbelief and all of the cursed things that Satan was throwing at us in those times.
Yeah.
Father, thank you for your word today.
Yes,
we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we've talked about the fact that God has a plan. Always. He always has a plan.
Good plan.
And he always is working with you to get you over into that plan where it's good. It's always better than where you are now. The problem is, Christian people get a sense of that. They get an idea of where God wants them to be. And if it's not their plan, most of the time, I'd say 99% of the time, really, fear jumps in and says, oh, no, I could never do that. And so your resistance to it creates more problems than you had to start with. You don't really realize you're resisting the plan of God and all that kind of thing.
That's right.
Now, there is a principle here. Let's go over to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, Gloria.
One thing about God's plan is pretty near always going to take faith to do it.
Well, yeah. He could get you in there, but without faith, you wouldn't know you're there.
You wouldn't
know
what
to do. And a lot of people are a whole lot closer to the plan of God and the grace of God in their lives than they realize. But you get it all muddled up with religion and people's ideas and what mama said and all that.
And he doesn't give you the end result necessarily.
No,
he just says the next step to take.
You got to walk it by faith.
Lord, if trust
God. If you don't walk it by faith, then since the Bible says it's by grace, it's by faith, so that it can be by grace. Even if you knew what it was, without grace, you're not sufficient to carry it out.
That's right.
But he's able to make all grace abound toward you. That's what he's wanting to do. That you may abound to every good work, to abound to that plan and every work that there is in it. But without faith, you can't walk in the grace that it takes to fulfill it.
That's the truth.
Even if you knew what it was. If you find out what it is and you're walking in it by faith, if you let something steal your faith, you can't accomplish it knowing that it's the will of God. But even at that, it won't be as dangerous there as it would be if you're out there out of your place. You remember, We were listening to Brother Keith Moore talk about this. And he's talking about the most talented, the most successful brain surgeon in the world, and the most talented and the most successful high-intensity welder in the world. Both of them are at the top of their game. And the welder, they call on him when it has to be so perfect and so precision that it has to hold up tons and tons, and the most sophisticated skyscrapers in the world. This is the guy they want. And this brain surgeon, whoo, if they're going to operate on the president, this is the guy they want in there. Now, both these guys, their grace that God has graced them with has, this is what they were born to do. But now, Gloria, you get the welder in the operating room and you got a mess.
You don't want that.
No. And he says, wait a minute, I can't do this. I got so tickled at Keith. He just laughing, you know, and talking about that. And the brain surgeon stand up on top of that skyscraper with a welding torch in his hand, he had got a clue what to do. He was not born to be there.
Yeah, that's right.
You put them both in their place, and the doctor is operating on somebody in a hospital that the welder built.
That's
true. That's the way
everything
it's supposed to work.
Yeah, that's
now,
right. That's good.
How do we... You remember yesterday we were talking about the fact that the Lord said to me in a time of just really turmoil, I knew I had missed God. I didn't know where. And it was really... I was struggling at it. He said, do you believe I can take you from where you are right now into my perfect will? I said, well, sure. He said, well, then stop trying to figure it out for yourself. He said, every time you have that thought, what is the correct plan? Where am I supposed to be? Did God call me to be here or someplace else? Oh, me, oh, my, woe is me. No, don't do that, he said. You just confess with your mouth, oh, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
And he said, just rest in that. Forget about it. Go on and do what you're doing. Just do it by faith. Do it well. And he said, I'll make up the difference for you. Well, as I said yesterday, I preached in places I knew good and well. After I got there, I realized that I had accepted that invitation. It was a good invitation. It was good people. But it wasn't in God's plan. And I realized it, but instead of just, you know, calling, making a mess, I gave him a word I'd be there, so I'm going to be there. If I swear to my own hurt, I got to be there. The Lord said, no, you just confess thy will be done. He said, I'll take care of it for you, and I'll bless you over there as far as I can. And it just all worked so good. Now, I still had to take my stand of faith against the devil and all that. Now, you don't need to wait till you get in trouble to do that. I want us to look here in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. See what Jesus said?
Mm-hmm.
I have come to do your will. I'm not responsible for making the plan. I'm not even responsible for bringing it to pass. I'm not responsible for anything except obedience.
That's right. It's a good point. And you can do that.
Oh, yeah. And then you get all the credit for it. with their outcome, he planned on us being blessed with the victory, and we praise him for it, and we get the pleasure and the triumph of the victory. I mean, that's the way he planned for it to work in the first place. Now,
that's good.
You start out by saying, Lord, I have come to do your will. That's what I'm here for. That's my job. I yield to it. Praise God.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. That's what I was called to do. And you know what? I mean to tell you, he'll put you in some spot, even if it looked like to you, dear God, this is the furthest thing from what I had in mind. But you go ahead and just relax there for a few days, and you're going to get to think, you know, this ain't half bad. This, yeah,
I can do this thing.
But the reason why, you get in there where you belong, you have talents you didn't even know you had. And the Spirit of God begins to enable you with His capabilities. And anytime you're victorious, Gloria, and doing anything, you enjoy.
Victory, sweet.
And you remember what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy? He said, charge them that are rich in this world to be ready to distribute. And he said, for God has given us all things
to enjoy.
Richly mm-hmm. to enjoy. Now, he didn't give them to you to meet your needs. They met your needs, but that's not why he gave you your fine car. He gave you that car because he wanted you to enjoy it.
I enjoy it, too.
He gave you your home so you could enjoy it. And when you understand that, you don't get covetous and possessive of it.
Now, religious tradition does not teach that.
No.
You don't get that out of tradition. You get it out of the Bible. All
you
things to enjoy.
I can tell you, at least partly, how religion made its decision. It got out here out of the plan of God and didn't have any answer for why everything's going so wrong. Why are we sick all the time? How come we pray and we don't get healed? How come God don't listen to me? Blah, blah, blah. Well, let's go
answer.
With the book of Jeremiah, and we'll see what he said about that. And so they make up some reasons. Well, God, in His infinite wisdom, didn't want me to be healed because He has this special plan for me that I'll never get until I'm in the last stages of cancer. You know what that is? Bull. Religious correctness. Not political correctness, but religious correctness. It is a bunch of man-made junk using the carnal mind to answer spiritual questions.
Yeah.
That's what that's all about. Now, let's go over here to the book of Jeremiah.
It comes out of ignorance.
Don't you remember over in Isaiah 55, and he said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways higher than your ways, but my word goes forth out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, look here. Jeremiah 29.
I have a plan for you.
For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. Glory, it never was his plan for them being in Babylon in the first place. They caused that by making their own plans and not following his plan. They got themselves in such a mess that if God hadn't moved them to Babylon, they would have been annihilated as a race. Now, listen to this. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected or a planned end. A prepared end. Now, isn't that what we read in Ephesians chapter 2? In paths He's foreordained or planned. God expects this. He sat down expecting His enemies to be made His footstool.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, listen to this. Well, you just never know, Brother Copeland, what God's gonna do. Well, you know, it's hard to know the will of God. Horse feathers. That ain't right. Listen to this. Then you shall call on me. Now, Gloria, He's not talking to a bunch of perfect, the best there was. He's talking to a bunch of people that screwed it up so bad they couldn't hardly get out of it.
Yeah.
But he didn't get out of love with them. He still had a plan to get them back over there where they belong. Listen, you'll call on me, you'll go and pray to me, and I will hearken unto you.
Praise
glory
God.
To God.
I'll hear you.
You will seek me and find me and you'll search for me with all your heart and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I'll gather you from the nations and from all the places. I'll gather you. Mm-hmm. I'll do it. You just seek me and listen to me. I'll hear, I'll plan, I'll gather you. I'll put you back over there on the good place. I'll get you back on the good road.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
I got a plan for you, girl, that is beyond anything you ever heard of.
I believe it, Lord.
Oh, but Jesus, oh, look what a mess I've made out of my life. I've had people come up in the prayer line and stand there with tears in their eyes, and I understand it because I've been in that place. Brother Copeland, I've made such a mess in my life. I just don't know. I don't know whether there's any deliverance from me or not. Everybody's made a mess out of their life.
Absolutely.
Amen. There is no mess so big the blood of Jesus didn't cover it. And the thing of it is, if you make Jesus the Lord of your life, I mean, His blood covered your sin before you ever prayed the prayer. Now, if you don't pray it, He can do everything but pray your prayer for you. If you don't receive the righteousness that He has provided for you, then there's no door. He's the door into that plan. But He's already taken care of all of the junk you did and all the sin you sinned. His blood's already taken care of that. You don't have to atone for that. You don't have to pay some kind of price to get it. He's paid the price. All you need to do is hear Him when He says, seek my face.
Praise God.
Come to me.
Glory to God.
I'll see to it. I'll get you back in there. I'll take you where you need to be. Oh, I come to do the plan of God. I came to do the will of God. That's all you got to say.
Praise God.
I'm here to do His will. Now, get this and get it big. Your needs are not the most important thing to you. They're the most important thing to God, but they're not the most important thing to you. His needs, what He created you to do, what you are born in this world to do.
That's right.
There's no insignificant birth. There's no insignificant calling. There's no such thing as a man born to be poor, born to be sick, born to die young. No, sir, bless God, don't let anybody tell you
That's
there
right.
was. No, sir. He's no respecter of persons. Now,
Amen.
When you begin to realize, I was praying over these broadcasts right here, and I heard it. Oh, it's just resounding in my spirit and in my mind. It's been there for over 40 years now, but oh, it got so powerful in me. God meets our needs, but Gloria, He has chosen and called us to meet His needs.
Mm-hmm.
What was Jesus' need? What did He say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Didn't He say it?
He said it. That's what He needs.
Now, if religious correctness was applied to that, we'd say, oh, yes, but now wait a minute, sister. Jesus, you know, said, I'll go into all the world and I'll preach the gospel to every creature. I'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover and I'll cast out the devil. And you boys come go with me. No, that ain't what He said. He said, you go into all the world, you preach the gospel, you cast out the devil, you lay hands on the sick
right.
and they'll recover, and I'll go with you.
Hallelujah.
Ain't that what He said?
That's exactly right.
Now,
amen.
My question then is this. Lord, do I go sick? Or would I do a better job if I was well? Now that I know what Your will is, somehow or another, I'm supposed to be Your witness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my job is. Whether I do it right here in Arkansas or whether I do it all over the world, wherever I do it, that's where my life and my peace and my prosperity is. That's my wealthy place. It's wherever He's called me to do it and go and be
Amen.
A blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Would I do a better job if I'm weak or if I'm strong?
Strong.
Well, let me ask you the question of all questions. Would I do a better job as a sinner or as a born-again believer?
As a born-again believer.
You can't even do it unless you're born
again. No.
Would I do it better without the Holy Ghost or with Him?
With Him.
Now,
you can't
would
do
I do a better
him.
Job poor or rich?
Rich helps a lot.
Would I do a better job by going in revelation from heaven or if I go in the tradition of religious men?
Revelation.
Well, then look, the answers to all of that are glaringly obvious.
That's why the Spirit of God leads you into all
truth. Now, we have just determined that this is the will of God for all men for all time. Because that was what Adam looked like in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, yeah, but what about Jesus? He is poor. You better rethink that. Well, I don't know. I guess the apostles didn't get the message that everybody's supposed to be well off. Well, you didn't get that either. You're quoting religion. You haven't read the Bible about it in the looking at it through the Bible's eyes. No, you need to go back and recheck that. Let me ask you something. You think Jesus was a tither?
Absolutely.
If he didn't, he robbed God. Well, after all, Brother Coleman, I mean, he's got it all belonged to him in the first place. He wasn't ministering here as God.
No,
he's ministering here as a man. And he said, I didn't come to condemn the law. I came to fulfill it. Well, certainly he was a tither. What, you think the tithing blessings didn't work for him? Gloria, the devil wasn't able to touch him until he allowed him to, and it wasn't because he's a son of God. It was because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's right.
All right. Now, how long? 50 years? 60 years? 80 years? Do I choose? Well, God, now wait a minute before you get off and tell me that everybody's got a set day and when I drop dead, I can't help it. That ain't nothing in the Bible that says that. The Bible tells us we can lengthen our
day. That's right. Absolutely.
And the Word already said, let me ask you this. Does the Word say by His stripes you were healed?
Yes.
Then that's the basis for my healing. Does the Word of God tell me that He meets my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Then that's the basis for receiving it. Does the Bible tell me that let the weak say, I am strong?
It does.
Then that's the basis for my strength. Does the Bible say that the days of man shall be 120 years on the earth?
It does.
Then that's the basis for my lifespan. No, the Word also says 70. Well, it does to people that were living out there in the desert.
Disobedient
to God. And He said, not a one of you is going across that river. You're not going if you're over 20 years old and your dead carcass will fall in this desert. That was in 70, 40 by strength.
That's talking to the people in the wilderness, disobedient.
Yeah. So, now when you get over on His plan, all these things begin to work together.
The blessing comes. Hallelujah.
And we're out of time.
Glory to God.
It's a good one, wasn't it? Praise the Lord.
Good
stuff.
Amen.
Glory, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Come home to the homecoming 2010 30th Annual Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas, August 2nd through 7th. Homecoming 2010 is designed to equip you with the Word of God so that you may live each day in the blessing. Immerse yourself in the Word with teachings from Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar. Friday morning, join Kenneth Copeland for a dynamic partner meeting. Saturday morning, Gloria Copeland teaches Healing School. Come expecting to receive your healing. Terry Pearson's hosts pre-service prayer every day. Youth services available Monday through Saturday. 1440 Student Ministries equips students to make every minute count for the glory of God for ages 13 through 18. And Commander Kelly and the Super Kids will be in session for kids ages 6 through 12. It's all free August 2nd through 7th, the Homecoming 2010 30th Annual Southwest Believers Convention. It's the only Believers Convention this year. Get on God's divine path.
Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast because This is the way the Lord directed us specifically to do this. That's His plan. Now, the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. In the fifth chapter, we have here what's called the fruit of the Spirit. We also have the fruit of the flesh. Now, when you get into the sixth chapter, you know, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. But then the fruit of the flesh, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envy, and murder, drunkenness, all that stuff. You sow the flesh and to the flesh, that's what you're going to reap. Now, you come down here to the sixth chapter. Let him that is taught in the Word respond unto him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, he's talking about between you and the person that teaches you the Word, which we did all week here. Mm-hmm. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, we just saw what the flesh produces. But now, if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap zoe, life. The Word of God by the Holy Ghost, the very things we've been talking about all this week, get down in your spirit. Boy, that just, wow, man, that's good. But Jesus said Satan will come try to steal it out of you.
Talk you out of it. He'll try to talk you out of
it. 25% of them, he said, won't stand up against him. And 25% stand up against him, and they produce 100-fold.
I'm in that group.
And here's how you be in that group. Notice what he said. You reap life, zoe, the very life of God. So don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Now, he said you sow into that teacher. You're not sowing into me. You're sowing into the Holy Ghost that's teaching you this. You're reacting by sowing seed into this ministry. And as you do, what you heard takes root. Now you can't steal it out of it. So, Father, reveal to your people
yes.
what their part, Bless their you. Seed of Bless finances you. Of this ministry and its outreach in oh, Jesus' name.
We thank you for Amen. Abundance.
Pray and obey. Amen. We'll see you next time. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website at kcm.org. There you can purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD or a copy of today's product. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of study tools designed to give you hope and help you find the answers you're looking for. You can also call our prayer line, 800-600-7395, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today.